Before you see it, just turn around and just say to someone, you know, today's a new year, right? That's all you needed to say. Then you can take your seats. Give you lot an excuse to say anything, and you're saying everything. I believe today is actually a start of a biblical new year. And so anything could happen in this new year. You realize that? This is a new year. A season has passed biblically, and a new season is beginning. Sometimes we think that the new year starts on January the 1st. It doesn't. That's just kind of it's just kind of a mess when you think about that. But the biblical new year is starting right now. So we're entering a new season. And in every new season, we need to see what God wants from us and where he wants to take us. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Mark's Gospel chapter 8. We're going to be looking at growing vision. I believe that we need to grow in vision. How many of you believe that you need to grow this coming year? Come on, lift up your hand if you really want to grow. You want to grow in your understanding. You want to grow in, you know, there's got to be some area at least that you want to grow in, right? Apart from your dress size, your waist size, or anything like that. We want to grow. We want to grow and expand in our capacity, in our mentality. We want to grow in vision and our knowledge and intimacy and relationship with God. And then our effectiveness and our influence will grow. I don't know about you, but when I first became a Christian, all I wanted to do was get away from something. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I wanted to get away from my old lifestyle. I wanted to get away from that lost, broken, lonely lifestyle. And I wanted to, you know, I wanted to kind of come to this God that was promised that he was going to change me, he was going to set me free, he was going to save me. And that was it. That was all I knew. How many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you, that's kind of you? It was like, Jesus, someone told you about the gospel, someone told you about Jesus, that he could do this, he could do that, he was this, he was that. And we wanted to get away from something. And whether it was you going through a process to get to that realization, or in a crisis that you came to that realization, we started somewhere and it was good, and basically it was about us, it was about I, me and my, it was about getting my needs met, it was about changing, it was about, you know, my stuff. But then as you continually grow, and if you're one of the Christians that keeps walking forward, and you know, you're not one of the receivers of the word of God that you just receive it and the birds of the air come and nick it, and you know, because there's people out there like that. Or, you know, you're one of the Christians that you're a believer, you've heard the word of God. You know the parable of the sower, where a hard time comes and you just go back to doing what it was you were doing anyway. You know, if you're someone that wants to progress and go forward, then there comes a point when, like in any journey, you have to go from looking down, looking at yourself and where you're at and what you got, to looking up and looking forward in the direction that you're going. And sometimes I think that we, all of us, we need to understand that our vision of the future is something that is so key that we really need to take it, we need to pray about it, we need to understand it a little bit more. I believe that we as Christians in this day and age, we need to either have a refreshed vision of God and who he is and what he wants to do in our society, in our lifestyle, in our culture, or things are not going to go well with us because everything crowds in. There's so much else. So I want to look at today very quickly, as time allows, with growing vision. Mark chapter 8, we're going to be looking from verse 22. It says, when they arrived at Bethsaida, some people brought a blind man to Jesus. They begged him to touch the man and heal him. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. Then spitting on the man's eyes, he laid his hands on him and asked, can you see anything now? The man looked around. Yes, he said. I see people, but I can't see them very clearly. They look like trees walking around. I've known a few people like that. Amen. Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again, and his eyes were opened. His sight was completely restored, and he could see everything clearly. Jesus sent him away saying, don't go back in the village on your way home. We know that in his earthly ministry, when Jesus was here on the earth, how many believe Jesus walked on the earth? He came in the flesh as a man, fully God. He had all of the same temptations we had, but yet he was God. Amen. He was born of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. He didn't have a human father, and therefore he was born without that same sin kind of gene that we all have, that abnormality in us. But he was fully God, he was fully man. He was not just a good prophet or a good teacher. He was God the Son, and he was divine, and in his divinity and his humanity combined, that's where our salvation was able to come about. But when he used to walk around and he did his thing, he would minister on the road. He would go about doing his thing. He'd go into people's situations. And he would use all different types of methods in healing and delivering and becoming known to people, right? Sometimes it would be a touch. Sometimes it would be a word. Sometimes it would be just someone touching him and touching his garment and power leaving him. Whatever it was, in this case, it was spitting on someone and laying hands on him. Imagine that. Amen. Imagine he did that today. You'd have all of the heresy hunters would be saying, that can't be of God. Spitting on someone, how degrading is that? But he did this, and he did all different types of methods. I believe the reason for this is because he wanted to make sure that we wouldn't get caught up in trusting the method, but that we would trust the master. Amen? Let me say that again. God don't want us to trust the method. Methods are negotiable in church life, in Christianity. There are some things that are fundamental. They are non-negotiable. One of the non-negotiable things that we have is that Jesus is the master. He is Lord, he is Savior, he is the King. He is the one who we serve. He is the one who wants to show us all things. He is the master. The methods change. You know, this method of having church in a warehouse, converted warehouse, with lights and electronic sound and all that is one method. Other people have it in an old brick, building, an old stone building, with a steeple, and you look inside and there's all the people, or not. Some people have it in a cave, some people have it in a house, whatever. It's a method, it's negotiable. The fundamentals are that we come, we pray, we worship, we sing, we gather around the word, we receive the word of God, and we give God all the glory. They're fundamental things. But we need to understand that God, Jesus, is the master. The methods are negotiable. In this method, he used something that he didn't use anywhere else. We don't see it anywhere else. This account is only seen in Mark's gospel. It's the only time he healed anyone in stages. And it's also the only time that he actually spat on someone. But I want us to have a look at some of the stages of this. Because what it does is it shows us the stages of our spiritual growth and the growth of our vision. Some of you know, some of us, we started off and we had a vision of where we were. We had a vision of what God was doing, who God was, what he wanted to do in our lives. And that released us. And then some of us have looked forward and we took a few stumbling steps and then we started getting into our stride. But maybe someone's come along, poked you in the eye since then. Right? Maybe, you rubbed your eyes and something got in them. Maybe something came from outside. Maybe there was a fog, a mist. Maybe you went through an unclear period. Or maybe you got, vision like an eagle that went to Specsavers. I don't know. But we all need to understand that there are times when we need to address our vision, where we're at, what we're looking at. Can we see? Because if we can't, then we're going to be wandering around all over the place. But God don't want us to waste time wandering about all over the place. He wants us to redeem the time. He wants us to make sure that we're taking care of business, that we're doing what it is that he wants us to do, becoming who it is he wants us to become, because time is precious. Time is a commodity and a currency that once spent can never ever be returned or restored. You ain't getting it back. Once you spend your time, it's gone. Amen. And we have to understand that God wants to show us where he wants us to go. There's a few things that I want us to look at before time runs away with us. The first thing that we notice is that the man was blind. He was without sight. And I don't know about you, but one of the worst things that you can ever think about is going blind. It's got to be horrible, right? I mean, imagine not being able to see anything. The fear of that. You ever been in a completely dark space? Right? How many of you ever got up in the night to go to the fridge or the toilet? More often the toilet, but I know some of you are midnight munchers. Come on now. And you get up and you haven't got a little night light on and you get up and it's all dark. And how many of you have stubbed your toe, banged your shin, fallen over something? Come on now. Because you're unaware of your surroundings, because you can't see. When you can't see, it's a horrible affliction. Horrible. Amen. This man was blind. It's a terrible thing. And it leaves you very vulnerable. You're vulnerable. You're bound by your surroundings. Right? You can't see what's what. You got to trust people around you because you can't see what they're doing. Imagine a blind person talking to you. You could be poking your tongue out. You could be laughing. You know what I mean? They can't see. They have to trust. It's very vulnerable, horrible, isn't it? Amen. This man was blind. Many people out in the world that we live in are blind. They've got no spiritual vision. Some Christians have lost their spiritual vision. And what happens is, when you lose your vision, your other senses become more acute. So you have to start relying on your senses, all your senses other than your vision. So your touch, your taste, your smell. Amen. And it's exactly the same with spiritual blindness as it is with physical blindness. When you're visionless, you haven't got a vision of God or a vision of God's destiny for you and his future for you, then what happens is you become reliant upon your senses, right? If you can't see with your heart, if you can't see with your spirit, then you're going to start seeing with your flesh. And you're going to start relying upon your other senses to give you direction. So then you start going down the route of what it feels like or what it sounds like. Come on now. Are you with me? Spiritual vision has been described as understanding the world as it is, but then seeing it as it could be. So you know that the world is as it is, the world that you live in. You know that your life is as it is. But then with spiritual vision, when you're not just bound by how it is, but when God's revelation to you shows you how it could be in the future, then you start making decisions and taking steps to see that come to pass. Are you hearing me right now? Amen. But without vision, people do their own thing. Spiritual vision can only be received by God. You can't make it up. You can't manufacture it. You can't bring it about yourself. It can only be received by God. He's the one who gives it, usually by revelation, as you spend time in his presence or you come to do what it is he says that he wants you to do. If you obey him in something, then there's a revelation of him that comes in your life and your eyes are open and you start to see forward. You start to see the future. You start to see things as they could be. And then that empowers us to start making decisions to take those steps. But it comes from God. And it can come in one go. You can get it, all of a sudden you get vision. God can do anything. But more often, God is so good. He's so merciful and gracious that he doesn't give you the whole picture straight away. How many of you have been saved for 10 years or longer? When you got saved, right, and you'd have seen where you was at now, God showed you all of the things you'd have to go through to get where you're at now, how many of you would have crumbled you? My goodness. If when I became a Christian, when I went from being a heroin addict to being a lost, broken, horrible criminal to being saved and redeemed with hope for my future, if God had shown me 20 years into the future, all the things I've had to go through and what I'm having to go through now and deal with now, I would have said, no thanks. Ain't there another way? Can't I do something else? Because we're not big enough. Are you with me? It's like, what? Shut up. So God does it in stages. He shows us things in stages. Are you with me? It's a process, our life. You know that. It's a process. We have to go through the process. It's not just an event. It's a process. And God takes us through this process. Spiritual growth is like that. And vision is an essential part of that process. Without spiritual revelation or vision, people just end up being led by their feelings or their other senses. Proverbs 29:18, we all know that. It said, where there is no revelation, where there is no vision, people cast off restraint, go their own way, do their own thing, or perish. But happy is he who keeps the law. Without that God-given vision and understanding of his will and his ways, everything becomes about right now. Come on now. When you ain't got no vision, or you lose your vision, or it gets cloudy, everything becomes about right now. Huh? Instead of going for Miss Right, you go for Miss Right Now. Amen. You end up making a mistake. Come on now. You end up doing everything for now. You spend your money now. You give up now. You don't do it now. You make that decision for now. But what about later on? What about the future? What about your legacy? Amen. What about an investment? If you spend all your money now, then you ain't going to have nothing later on, are you? Right? Even when I was a drug addict, I knew that concept. If I take all my drugs now, I'm going to be sick in the morning. But I mean, if you know, I used to do it anyway. Because it was a spiritual malady. Without vision, people end up being bound and imprisoned by the immediate. What feels right or sounds good. And that's not God's plan. And that's not God's will. Too many Christians even. You know, we see it with people that are unsaved. We see them living in the immediate, making immediate decisions based upon immediate things. But even in Christianity, you see people that have kind of, their visions got fuzzy or clouded. They make decisions based upon now. They take steps for now. They deal with things now. The immediate, it's all about the immediate. What does it feel like? Or if it don't feel right, then I'm not going to do it. Or, you know, if it don't sound right, if someone else has come in. See, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But faith can also leave by hearing by something that's not the word of God. You get someone else's opinion. Come on now. How many of you know, you might think that I'm a good pastor, I'm a lovely man, I'm a man of integrity and all that. Imagine someone else comes in when you're on a downer and starts saying, oh, that Pastor Paul, he's concerned about is this, and all he wants is that, and all he does is that. And you're on a downer and you start listening to it, and all of a sudden, then you're looking at me with cross eyes. Right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And listen, if I believed everything everyone tells him about you, wow! I'd shut the doors. I'd lock the doors. I'd ban you. I don't want you here, you devil. Are you with me? So faith comes by hearing, but also other stuff comes by hearing. And we have to understand that it's not just about hearing and smelling and tasting and touching. But God gives us vision. He wants us to see him. And how do you see God? How do you see God's will? How do you do it? How do you see it? First of all, you believe it. You believe what he says, then you'll see what he said. That's how it works. But that takes that trust and that reliance upon God as the master and not just the immediate circumstances and surroundings. How many of you, if you'd have been led by your circumstances and surroundings, you would have got as far as you've got? Come on now. There's no way I would have been here in this church. There's no way we would have had this building. There's no way I would have had kids, have a house. There's no way I'd have a car. There's no way I'd have, you know, teeth. Right? Anything. So we have to understand not to go with the immediate. We need vision. And to do that, we need to know what God wants. So we need to be looking at Jesus to find that. The second thing we see is that the man was brought by his friends. How many of you thank God for friends? Huh? People that stick by you. People that will take you somewhere that's inconvenient for them. Come on now. This man's friends brought him to Jesus. And you know what? The friendship must have been strong because he would have had to trust them. Because when you're blind, you got to trust someone else's vision. Oh, come on now. Huh? When you can't see the next step, you know, it even works. It don't just work when you've lost your vision or when you're just starting off. It works where I'm at. You know where I'm at, and I want to see our church increase and our ministries increase, and I want to see churches sent out. I want to see people in their right place. You know, I'm in a place, or I've been in a place, or I go to places I've never been in before. So I can trust God, which I do, and he shows me steps, but then also sometimes I'm just completely blind to the situation. I don't know what's going on. And I have to get around people that know where they're going, have been where I haven't, and I have to trust their vision. Even works for me. Are you with me? And you have to make yourself vulnerable, and you have to trust. And his friends, who he trusted, brought this blind man to Jesus. Now, you'll notice that where they brought him was where he lived. So they brought him to Jesus in the village that he lived, and they begged him to touch him. One of the reasons people don't bring their unbelieving friends to church is because it's inconvenient. What sort of friend is that? Huh? They need special attention, these friends. They might need a little running commentary of what's going on. You're sitting there, you want to receive, but they're there, and it's like, oh yeah, no, it's all right. You know, you'll get into it. Yeah, just don't worry about the words. Yeah, no, it's going to last a little bit longer. No, we'll be done by 10:30. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah, the giving. Yeah, you don't have to give because you're new. I give because I'm a Christian. My giving shows my spirituality. Hello. Amen. But you're new yet. It's cool. You don't feel that way. And don't worry about this. And you might have to give a little running commentary. And all you want to do is receive. That's why people don't bring their friends, because it cramps their style. Huh? Come on now. So their unbelieving, spiritually blind friends and family stay blind and unspiritual and dead in their sins and end up in the lake of fire. Because it was inconvenient. But sometimes we just got to put our comfort aside for the good of someone else. The question really is, do you believe that bringing someone to Jesus will really make a positive difference in their life? Huh? This guy's friends obviously believed that it would make a positive difference. Did coming to Jesus make a positive difference in your life? Raise your hand in the air if you thank God for Jesus. Come on. Lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. Lift your hand up. Come on, don't be ashamed. Because if you're ashamed of him in front of witnesses, he's going to be ashamed of you in front of his Father in heaven. Come on now. Amen. So if it made a positive difference for you, then what about your friends? Come and meet a man who told me everything I ever did, changed my life, set me free, gave me a new identity. Come on now. Huh? So this man came because his friends believed they would make a difference in his life. That's heavy. Then we see, number three, that in order to perform this miracle, watch this, Jesus took the man away from his familiar surroundings. See, he was in the village. They brought him to Jesus in the village. But then Jesus in the village, now check it out, the man's blind. If the man's been blind for a while, then what happens is when you're blind, you learn how to negotiate by smell, by touch, by hearing, right? Sometimes even by taste. You ever seen a dog? My dog, take him out for a walk, right? You go over the park, you go to a bench, it's like dog Facebook. Everyone leaves a little post, right? And then the dogs, they sniff it and they're like, what are you doing? Pablo, stop it. And he's like, what? I'm liking it. And then they might leave a little comment on top. That's what it's like. But if you've been blind for a while, you get to know your surroundings, don't you? You become familiar. So you know that I come out my house, or me hovel if I'm blind, and I come out, and then I turn immediately left, and then it's 100 paces to the well. And 50 paces up, there's a cat that always comes out and tries to trip me up. And then 75 paces on the left, there's a dog that barks at me. You know. And then to go to the baker's, I turn right. You're following me. You get familiar with your surroundings. You learn how to negotiate things, even though you're blind. Because it's familiar. But when God wants to do a work in your life, listen to me. When God wants to change and transform your life from where you're at, show you something new, show you where he wants to take you for the future, he will take you out of your familiar surroundings. Why? Ask me why. Because then you have to trust him. You can't trust your musical skill. You can't trust your technical ability. You can't trust your looks. You can't trust your background. You can't trust your money, your upbringing. You can't trust your education. You have to trust the Messiah. So if you're feeling unfamiliar in where you're at right now, if you're feeling like you don't know what's going on, if it's a little bit scary in your walk with the Lord, it might just be that someone's been praying to Jesus that he's going to give you a little bit more vision, that he's going to help you change your life, put you where it is he wants you to be. And it might be that in them bringing you to him, he's then led you out of your familiar situation so that he can get a hold of your life. So if you're feeling like the world's a little bit weird right now, then Jesus is right next to you and he's about to change your life. I don't know about you, but that's good to me. You know, when it's dark and when it's mad, I'm in the Master's hands, man. When it's dark and weird and mad around me and it's unfamiliar and I don't know what's happening, then I know that I must be with Jesus because he loves me and I'm his and I belong to him and he wants to change me and he wants to take me further and I'm in an unfamiliar situation, but there's something familiar about it. The familiar thing about my unfamiliar situation is that there is a peace in it. There's God and there's a sense of God in it. There's excitement in it. Yes. That's when God's going to change your life. Not when you're comfortable. How often do we hide behind the familiar? Huh? Going through the motions. Business as usual. Oh, I can do this with my eyes shut. Hello? If you can do it with your eyes shut, then there ain't no vision in that, is there? That's as far as your vision's gone. With what you knew. Oof. What about going where you don't know? Huh? Then you really have to trust the Lord. And it's that trust and reliance that opens up for the supernatural touch of the Master. Number four. Then comes the miracle. But it happened in stages, right? Vision comes in stages. Remember, our walk happens in stages. You want to know why? I've got to cut through this quick. Because we're eternal beings living in time. We're eternal beings living in time. When God moves and he does things now. He is the I am, he is the now, he does it now. When you get saved, you're saved now. But you have to work out your salvation. You're saved eternally because you're an eternal creation, an eternal creature, right? You're saved eternally. It's happened, okay? You become what's called justified when you believe in Christ, amen? But then you also become sanctified. You become set apart. You become something from darkness into light. You go from darkness into light. You go from old creation into new creation. It happens instantaneously, eternally, but we're eternal beings living in time. So in the time, we still have to work out the time of it. Try and grab this concept. Eternity is happening now. It's not, don't start when we die. It happens now. We're in eternity. And the destination is either going to be the lake of fire or it's going to be the arms of the Lord. Forever. Right? When you shuffle off this mortal frame and time is done and everything happens like that, then one of two destinations. But now, our destiny is that we follow Christ. Once we believe in Christ, then all of a sudden, everything happens instantaneously. Your eyes are opened, your heart is changed, your mind is renewed, etc., etc., etc. But we still struggle with the world, don't we? We still struggle with sin and temptation. We still struggle with that. Why? Because we are eternal beings living in time. And we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You get this? This is sanctification. It is immediate and it's progressive. There is a process. And God wants to take us step by step through our process. Because he understands. being an eternal being that came down and lived in time. You catching this? If you go back to the beginning of Mark 8, you have the miracle of the feeding of the 4,000, verses 1 and 10. And immediately afterwards, the Pharisees started arguing with him, as they did, the religious buds. And then after Jesus and the disciples got in a boat, he warned them to beware the leaven of the Pharisees, right? Verse 15. Leaven is another word for yeast, for baking bread. But in this case, and in Scripture, it refers to the false teaching of the Pharisees. It's a worldly thing that comes and grows within. It's a man-made thing. It's man's opinion. Amen. But the disciples thought he was talking about literal bread. Jesus rebuked them and said, having eyes you do not see, and having ears you do not hear. And do you not remember? Or how can you be so blind? You've been with me so long. Don't you understand what I'm saying? Right? So you see, and then he goes on and he starts talking about this blind man and he shows them something. You can't separate this miracle from the whole context of this entire chapter in Mark chapter 8 because it's a continuation. Jesus is trying to show them something and show us something that sometimes we see but we don't see. So he takes us through in stages. He gives us vision. He opens our eyes. We see him. See, once you get saved, you know that he can save you from darkness and light and take you from hell to heaven, that he can take you from being lost to being found. But then you can't believe him and trust him to give you your daily bread, help you to get a job, help you to get married, help your kids to grow up, to get involved in ministry and take the next steps. We can't believe him for the mundane and the natural when we've believed him for the supernatural. And so he understands. He's like, come on, man. I can imagine him biting his hand and going, wow. So then he takes us like children, stage by stage and step by step, because he understands how frail we are and how ridiculous sometimes we are, how stupid we are, right? So he takes us step by step. And he's showing us this through this miracle. Do you have eyes to see and yet not what you don't see what I'm trying to do? Can't you see? See, this cloudy spiritual vision, it affects us. None of us sees as clearly as we want, right? I don't care who you are, if you're Pastor Sonny, if you're, you know, if you was Dave Wilkerson, if you was the Apostle Paul or whoever, no one sees clearly. Everyone gets things revealed as and when we're able to take the steps. See, God might have shown you the step that he wanted you to take and you're worried about your future vision, but you ain't even took that step yet. Some of you are saying, well, God hasn't spoke to me for ages. My question to you then is, have you done what he told you to do last time yet? See, unless you do what it is he told you to do last time, he's not going to tell you what to do next time. Hello? It's like having a sat-nav and putting in the destination, and then it says, go 100 yards and turn right, and you sit there going, well, are we there yet? What next? You can talk to that sat-nav as much as you like. She's not going to speak back to you. She's not going to go, well, after that, I'll tell you what's going to happen. After that, you'll turn left and you go up to the roundabout. She ain't going to say nothing. Until you go up 100 yards and turn right, she's not going to tell you to turn left and go up to the roundabout. And God's like that with us. Because he knows how potentially clever we are. Are you with me? I've got to come into a land, man. It's time. That's what Jesus is saying. Paul said, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, says in the message, it says, we're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. Huh? How many of you feel like that? Squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. Huh? Don't know what I'm doing. I've got this far, but now I don't know where I'm going. So God wants to give us vision. Number 5, coming to Jesus starts the process from blindness to sight. This is still on that. But then we've got to keep submitting our understanding to Jesus in order for our sight to continually be clear. It's a process. It's a journey. Number 5, so what is the vision of this church and where can you fit? Fact is, everyone can fit somewhere. You can bring someone, you can serve in some capacity. The admin, worship team, ushers, children's ministry, prayer, hospitality, media, cleaning, whatever. fitness, you can do whatever you want. Then as your vision becomes clearer, maybe you can see yourself teaching or running a group or running a home or leading in some capacity or being a missionary or going out and helping somewhere else, getting more education. As a church, our vision and our mission is clear. We're an outreach church, a transformational church. We don't care where you've been. We just want you to get where God wants you to go. We want everyone to become everything they were created to be. That's our mandate. That's our mission. We reach out to the hurting people of the world because we can help, because we have the grace of God. We have the power of God. We have the word of God. We have Jesus' name. People can change. Amen. That's the church that we're at. And we want everyone to come. We want the down and out, and we want the up and out. We want the in and out. We want anyone to come. Come just as you are, but just don't expect to stay like it. Come, let God change you. But where do you fit? Where do you fit? How do you get in this? Very, very quickly. One final point. What finally got this man to get where it is that God wanted him to be? Is honesty. Honesty. He didn't lie to Jesus. And that's crucial. He could have said, when Jesus said, what's happening now? He said, yeah, Lord, I see. I can see. And he could have accepted that slight improvement. That's like in our homes. We don't let you smoke or drink. You know why? Because you're going to backslide. You're going to go back on drugs. You're going to cause havoc for everyone because it's a stupid thing to do. Right? That's just how it is. But some people accept a little improvement. They go, well, I'm off drugs now. Let me smoke. Let me drink. I'll be all right. That ain't going to work like that. God doesn't want a little temporary improvement. He wants total transformation. He wants us to be a testimony. He don't want us to just, you know, treat ourselves to our senses. That's visionless behavior. And it leads to people perishing. Everywhere in our life. He don't want you just to come from, you know, sleeping around to living with someone and fornicating to just meeting up with someone after a club and fornicating. Or, do you see what I mean? So many Christians in this world, they go for the little slight improvement. And he could have been like that. He could have said, yeah, I can see people. And been like many Christians in the world and never ever go on to fulfill their potential or their purpose. But instead he was honest. And you know what he did? He just said, I can see, but I can't see clearly. I can see men, but they're like trees walking. There's this indistinct shape that's there. I can't see the features. I'm never going to know it intimately. It's just an inanimate object that I can perceive right now. But God don't want us to just perceive inanimately. He wants us to know intimately what it is that he has for us and the people that are around us and what they're going through and where they can become, what they can become and where they can go. So he said that, and then Jesus kind of, I imagine Jesus going, nice one. Yes, get in there. And then Jesus laid hands on him again. He said, come out, laid hands on him again. And poof, he opened up. How many of you can see your future cloudily? You can see your purpose or your destiny cloudily. You can see it foggily, or some of you can't even see it at all. You're just still in the immediate. You're looking down, you're looking in, you're looking around. It's all about me and my needs. But you're not looking forward to where you become a need meter. You become a solver of problems, where you become a leader in your generation, where you become someone that takes someone else by the hand and leads them to Jesus. That's our destiny, man. Is that we would know God and that we would bring other people to God, because when we know God, you're in your destiny, you're living the dream, you're in it. You just need to work out some stuff. But there are other people that are still wandering around perishing that don't know him yet. Stand to your feet right now, please. Lift up your hand.